All right. Welcome, guys, to another Marvel podcast. My name is Drew Gretch, and this is my full spoiler review of Eternals. I released my instant take, the before and after podcast, on Thursday. I've been able to sleep on the film Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. So three nights. I've slept on the film three times. I've had 3 days to think about it. I've seen it a second time. I saw it last night. And this is, so as I said, you know, full spoilers. If you've not seen Eternals, go. Go right now. And I can't even tell you to go see this movie. And just save this podcast. Wait for it to come out on Disney Plus. Watch it and then listen. Because my opinions usually change a little bit after a second screening. I don't think an opinion I've had on a movie has ever changed so much. I don't know if it was just because I was in denial on Thursday, or what, just because I was finally seeing this movie. Because you guys know, this has been my most anticipated Marvel movie. But last night, the movie just didn't do it for me. This is the most disappointing Marvel movie I've ever seen. I'm not saying it's the worst one. But for me, this is the most this is one of the most disappointing films I've ever seen. Because I was just so excited for it. I was so insanely excited for this movie to come out. And I think what happened is if I had the choice between great characters and a great plot, I would pick characters. I'd pick characters because great characters will keep you invested in a story, even if that story is subpar, not up to standards. And that is what happened with Eternals for me. And the thing is when you have great characters and you can sort of forget about the story, that only really works once. Where, you know, Shang-Chi had great characters and great story. This movie only had the great characters, and everything was so incredibly convoluted. And I think my biggest problem with Eternals is, you know, this is a movie that reminds me a lot of The Crimes of Grindelwald, Fantastic Beasts and Crimes of Grindelwald, which is, you know, the worst of the 10 Wizarding World movies. I do still like The Crimes of Grindelwald, because I'm a person who really enjoys, you know, the deep lore, the deep continuity of it. But the Crimes of Grindelwald was the second installment in the Fantastic Beasts series. And it was still really funny. There was a lot of great comedy in The Crimes of Grindelwald. And we knew the characters already. And I think, you know, this movie struggles the most with its lack of deciding who a main character is. Cersei gets the most screen time, but I really don't think Cersei's the main character. I think there is an argument that any of these people could be a main character. I really do. You can make the argument that it's Ajax's story of her legacy. You can argue that it's the story of Thena coming to terms with Mad Weary and moving beyond that. You can argue that it's the story of Druig, who's still my favorite of the Eternals. You know, it's clearly, you know, like, if you had to pick a main character, I'd pick Cersei, but the argument could go with almost any of the Eternals. And this movie needed a main character. You know, like, who's the main character of The Phantom Menace? Who's the main character of The Phantom Menace? Now, you could say Qui-Gon, but Qui-Gon dies at the end. Obi-Wan is a foil to Qui-Gon for most of the movie. And Anakin doesn't show up until about a half hour, 40 minutes in. So, you know, who's the main character of The Phantom Menace? You know, just who is? That's a serious question. I really am not sure who the main character of that movie is. And with this movie, I really don't know who the main character is supposed to be. I think they needed Dane Whitman to be a bigger part of the story. Because Dane on his own got really good character development. You know? I'm not saying I think that Dane Whitman should have been the lead of this movie. But I think that we needed somebody there for them to give exposition to. And I don't think that the valet cut it. Because the valet is only there for comedy relief. And really, I don't think all that much comedy in this movie lands. I really don't. And this is really surprising. And I'm surprised I'm saying this. I really am surprised I'm saying this. Because you guys know I've been really excited for Eternals to be a very different type of Marvel film. That would completely break away from the mold of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But as I'm watching it, as I'm watching this movie for the second time last night, I'm realizing that when you've had 25 previous movies and 4 Disney Plus series coming before this, and they all follow the same mold, it's really hard for me. And of course, I know this is in the MCU, but it doesn't feel like it's in the MCU. This is also the first movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe to not have a pre-existing character in it. Other than Iron Man, but Iron Man was the first one. So obviously every character in Iron Man is new. But since Iron Man, this is the first MCU movie to not have a returning character. Everyone is brand new. Everyone is brand new. And again, I think the characters are so incredibly strong. This movie, for me, works best when it's going into the stuff from the past. I love the stuff from the past. I love the ancient world and anything relating to that. I really wish that with this movie's, you know, 2 hours and 37-minute runtime, we'd spent more time in the past. I also think a better idea, because this is clearly setting up a sequel. Clearly setting up a sequel. What I would have loved to have seen is the first movie, this movie, Eternals, truly be a sprawling 7,000-year epic. Truly have that. Because that's what I was excited for. I was going to this movie thinking that this movie would truly have, like, you know, 2 storylines, both being like an hour and 15 minutes. One of them is, you know, over 7,000 years. The other one is after Endgame. We didn't get that. That's not why I dislike the movie. There are several reasons why I dislike this movie. And another thing, I really don't think that the Deviants needed to be involved whatsoever. I don't think that the Deviants needed to be here. Because they just complicate the story. They complicate the story. The scene where the valet is like filming the battle in the Amazon rainforest when they're visiting Druig. And Kingo's like, Get out of here, man. Get out of here. By the way, I love the character of Kingo, and I love the character of Druig. Druig is still my favorite, and I really want to see, like, Disney Plus spinoff shows with them. Like, I think Eternals would be better served as a Disney Plus series. I really do think this would be better served as a Disney Plus series. But anyway, the, when the valet is filming the stuff during that ring force battle, he says, we need action sequences. And I was just thinking, you know, like, is that a note from Kevin Feige to Chloe Zhao? Like, yeah, we love the movie, but still, you know, it's a Marvel movie, you know? And this whole movie is just either incredibly overbearing and heavy exposition, or really long fight scenes that have no emotional weight. Because what gives a fight sequence emotional weight is caring about both characters. Which is why the final battle of Shang-Chi is so incredible. Because we care about Sean, and we care about Wenwu. Wenwu is probably one of the most human characters in the entire Marvel Smack universe. I think that Wenwu is a great character. And the Crow, the deviant that starts talking, I know his name because I got the Marvel Legends figure right on my shelf right here with the rest of the Eternals. There was so much they could have done with that character, Crow. So much. When he shows up on the beach and starts fighting Icarus, it's like, oh my god, he's seen the error of his ways, they're coming together, it's gonna be great. And this movie could end with like 7 Eternals and 1 Deviant on the team. Actually, 6 Eternals, because the people who died were Ajak, Gilgamesh, and Icarus. And then Sprite turned human. So I don't think that Sprite's going to be a part of these movies anymore. I really don't. So it would have been 6 Eternals and the Deviant Crow. And I actually think 6 for this team is going to work a lot better, because now we know these characters and we can have some more fun. Because that's when this movie works best. Is when they're just being a family.
They're family,
as Vin Diesel would say.
They're family.
You never turn your back on family. I am Groot. But this film, you know, those few scenes that we get where they're just being family, and you can really just feel the history that they have, that, I think, is where Eternals works the best. Also, Richard Madden's accent is great. Richard Madden's accent in this movie is awesome. It's awesome. And I love that a whole lot. I like whenever he was talking, it's like, it's great voice. I'm trying to think what else, because there's a lot to do in this podcast. Let's talk about the big scene. Scene in this movie that's been getting a lot of press. And this is Marvel's first gay superhero. There's a 5-second kiss in this movie. And being bisexual, that is something that I cried both times. I cried both times seeing that in the theater. And this is something I never talked about before on the podcast, because I don't think it's really mattered until now. I was so incredibly happy and proud of Disney for not cutting that scene so the movie could be released everywhere. And then we got the news this morning that Disney is indeed cutting that scene to be released in Middle Eastern territories. And the tweet that I made at like 1 a.m. was, I just said, truly, how heartbroken I was by that. My exact tweet reads, "This absolutely breaks my heart. I was so proud of Disney for not backing down. As a bisexual, seeing Fastos and his husband kiss made me cry both times I saw the film. I felt so happy and represented for the first time in a Marvel film. My disappointment in this decision cannot be overstated." And this also, I think, refers to the sex scene also on the beach, which was super uncomfortable. And Angelina Jolie's also talked about how she's just so incredibly proud of Marvel for keeping it. So, it just makes me really sad that Disney's made this decision to cut the scene from the movie for Middle Eastern territories. That doesn't affect us here in the U.S. Wherever you live. If you're not in the Middle East. But I have just been incredibly, I'm heartbroken. Truly, I'm heartbroken with this decision by Disney. So let's get into all the characters. But that being said, I still love that scene. That's still my favorite scene in the movie. Right? That's my favorite scene in the movie? Yes, it is. So let's get into the and some of the characters and stuff. I mean, so the only Eternal that I didn't like was Sprite. Didn't like Sprite. And I hate to say this too. I got a lot of Jake Lloyd as Anakin Skywalker vibes from The Phantom Menace. I'm not saying, you know, and I don't like to, you know, rag on actors. It's not usually their fault. But also just the character was kind of annoying. There were a lot of really interesting things they could have done with her being in love with Icarus, and I don't think that they utilized any of them. And that's a problem I have with Eternals as a whole, is that this is a movie that tries to be so incredibly different than anything else we've seen in the MCU that it just takes the worst parts from the worst movies. It does. This movie to me felt a lot longer than Iron Man 2. You guys know, Iron Man 2 is the only movie in the MCU that I dislike. And I gotta see this a couple more times, not in theaters. I'm not seeing this in theaters again, but I'll see it on Disney Plus for sure. When it comes on Disney Plus in the next month or two. But I might have to add this to the very short list of Marvel films I dislike. I'm sad about that. I'm really sad about that. Maybe, you know, when Eternals 2 comes out and we can see the full vision. If that happens, you know, if it's not like, all right, well, we're going to just continue these stories on television. You know, like, if we continue the story of what's going on in space with, so who's off in space? Off in space, so on Earth, of the 6 Eternals left, who are Eternals. On Earth, we have Fastos, we have Cersei, we have Kingo. And then in space, we have Makari, we have Druig, and we have Thena. Of those, six. And then, you know, Star Fox and Pip. I still think a Star Fox animated series would be really cool. The one scene you saw them in, the one scene, I'm just like, I really like their dynamic. I think that their personalities would work really well in animation. You know? And just, like, this, the first season just, like, deals with them with him defeating Black Roger and being, like, the brother of Thanos. That'd be really fun. Didn't your brother kill half the universe? He's adopted. It's sort of the same thing between Thor and Loki. I think that would be really funny to have in an animated series. But an Eternals 2, I don't know if that's likely. And another thing, is they have to try so hard to convince Irisham that Earth is special. Even now, post-Endgame, where the people of Earth saved half the universe. You'd think that Irisham would want, you know, like, oh, well, maybe this planet's important, you know? But no, he still just wants to destroy Earth. And I think this movie does raise a lot of really good ethical questions, particularly from Druig. Druig, I still think, is a really great character. And I thought, you know, when they did the 1500s flashback, I think it was, what, 1521? Oh, yeah, because they're, like, 5 centuries ago, and movies a little like this. There's no rounding. It's exact. Wait a minute, but that can actually be a little bit more, because this movie set 2024. Because this is around the same time as Spider-Man Far From Home. And when I saw this last night, Yvonne turned to me during the final battle and he goes, "Where are the Avengers right now?" And I'm like, Spider-Man's on vacation. Wanda's enslaving a town. Hawkeye's seeing a stage play in New York. Doctor Strange is messing with the multiverse. And Sam and Bucky are fixing a boat. So obviously those aren't all at the same time, but if we're looking at the post-Endgame timeline. Oh, and then of course, you know, Shang-Chi and Wong are singing karaoke together. Living it up at the Hotel California. That's such a great movie. I'm excited to see Shang-Chi again on Disney Plus this Friday, November 12th. That's going to be exciting. I'm really excited to have that happen. This Friday on Disney Plus, Shang-Chi and Legend of Ten Rings. Let's go. Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting things in this movie. The things that I liked about Eternals the first time, I still really like. And I like them more the second time. But the things that I disliked far outweighs what I did enjoy. So the film as a whole had so much potential. And it tried so hard to be different. It just ended up being predictable. And that's something that makes me really sad. Because you guys know, I wanted to love this movie. You guys remember on the full Shang-Chi review, when we played that message from Nick Denneberg, who, you know, started this podcast about 2 years ago. He was like, "I think Eternals is going to suck." And I like called him out like, "You are wrong. Eternals is going to be great." And then I had sent him a text last night, just like, "Dude, your prediction was correct. And look, I think we've proven, like, my disappointment, in case there's any misconceptions about it, my disappointment in this film has nothing to do with the gay kiss. That's one of the few things in the movie that I do like. And I love it. It's one of my favorite scenes in the entire MCU. But the, just everything else really did just, it didn't really work. It just didn't really work, you know? I'm much more interested in Black Knight. I'm much more interested in Black Knight than I am in anything that is happening with the Eternals now. I truly believe that setting up a sequel, I wasn't expecting this movie to have a sequel. And we've been hearing, like, this movie is going to have a lasting impact on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Clearly nothing in Phase 4. Nothing in Phase 4. Except for maybe Moon Knight. Which, I mean, I could see us potentially seeing, you know, Dane Whitman and Blade appearing in Moon Knight. Because I have heard that we're going to be seeing Blade in the Moon Knight series. In a smaller role, but I have heard he's going to be in it. And this sort of going to be setting up a new version of the Defenders, which Daredevil may or may not be a part of. And when I say that, like, I truly mean I do not know if Daredevil is going to be a part of these new Defenders. So, but I'm much more interested in Black Knight. I actually have an audience reaction. I have Michael Badroff's reaction. He was on our Shang-Chi instant take. I got his reaction to the post-credit scene. So, you guys just want to take a quick listen in.
Michael. Oh, Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Right. Oh, my God. Michael.
Got that at the end of him going, Mahershala Ali. I think that is, you know, it's just really funny. I think. But this movie, you know, setting up Black Knight, I think that's something that's really interesting. And also, you know, this is our first time seeing Blade. First time seeing Blade. Or hearing Blade, I should say. First time hearing Blade in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, yeah. I'm incredibly, you know, just disappointed in this movie. And I really hate to say that. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who love this movie. Let's just check the Rotten Tomatoes right now. Because last check, it was at like an 86%. For the audience. So let's just look right now. The Rotten Tomatoes score for Eternals. The critic response with 293 reviews is rotten at 47%. The audience score with over 2,500 verified ratings is at an 81. the audience says it's a different kind of Marvel movie, but Eternals still contains all the action, humor, and heart that fans are looking for. This movie has a lot of heart. It does. The movie has a lot of heart. It's just everything else, and particularly the story. The story is so convoluted. Going back to Sprite, I think, and I can't remember if I talked about this on the Instant Take on Thursday night, but if there was a scene where Sprite spoke with Arisham and he told her that if she fights for him and, like, helps Tiamut be born, that he'll give her everything she ever wanted. Now, I don't know necessarily if that would fit with the film because of the plot that we already knew, but I think that for character purposes, that would have been a lot better. Now, story, again, that wouldn't really make sense, I don't think, but plot-wise, it would be a lot better. It would make a lot more sense. So, I am just, and I'm trying to look for the positives here. Here's a given, you know, visually, this movie's beautiful. Visually, it's beautiful. I love the artistic cinematography that Chloe Zhao brought to this film. If you guys haven't seen Nomadland, go watch Nomadland. It's beautiful. It's on Hulu. It's directed by Chloe Zhao. And I think I was expecting a movie more like that. Because Nomadland, it doesn't have exposition. All the exposition's at the very beginning. And another thing, the opening text scroll, there's no music or anything, and it's also confusing. So it just comes across as being funny. This movie makes a lot of really frustrating decisions. It does. It makes a lot of really frustrating decisions. And I think, you know, having the deviants, I understand why they have to have the deviants. It's a Marvel movie. But removing the deviant fights, that cuts 25, 30 minutes out of the runtime. And I think then, this movie's a lot better. I truly think if you were to remove just one thing from this movie to make it a lot better, take out the deviants. Take out the deviants, because they're generic. And the deviants really bring this movie down in my ranking. I said this on the Instant Take. We are talking, like, Malekith is more developed than the deviants. Malekith is more developed. So, and what I would have instead was just have the main struggle of this movie be the ethical choices of do we sacrifice these billions and billions of galaxies, maybe? So quadrillions, pentillions of lives for Earth. And I'd love to see like a what if for season 2. Like, what if the Eternals failed? What if the Eternals failed? And I think that would be really cool. There are a lot of really interesting what ifs you could do with this movie. A lot of really interesting what ifs. So, it's been a short podcast. I'm just really, you know, like, Shang-Chi, Black Widow, I really like those movies. I really like those movies, so it was a longer podcast. But we actually did get, some listener feedback. Oh, and we are getting that No Way Home poster this weekend, I think. So that'd be exciting. That's going to be exciting. We'll talk about that on next week's podcast. So here is the feedback we got. So this is from Richard Nebbins from the Illuminati, the direct. So he says, not what I expected, but still a fun movie. A lot of information and characters get into a 2.5-hour movie, but it's better than what a lot of the reviews are saying. Yes, I think this is a better, and I can't even say that. I can't even say that because I'm just so sad. And thank you for writing that in. Thank you for writing that in. I really do love to hear from you guys, especially on a movie like this. And I'd love to do a feedback show. I'd love to do a feedback podcast if we get enough of you guys to, like, send in your thoughts for Eternals. Because this is a movie where, like, everyone has very different opinions. You might, like, if you saw the movie twice, you might be like me, where you loved it the first time and it didn't really work for you the second. You might be the opposite, where maybe it didn't work for you the first time and you loved it on round two. I know there are a lot of people who, like Alex Edwards, he absolutely loves this movie. That's great. If you love this movie, I'm happy for you. I wanted to love this movie. I really did. I really wanted to love Eternals. And we'll see if the deleted scenes, when it comes out on Disney Plus in a couple months, if the deleted scenes change anything. But yeah, but right now, it's just, I'm just disappointed, if I'm being completely honest. Because this movie felt like a DC movie, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let's compare Eternals, because I think that the DC movie that Eternals most like is Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I love Zack Snyder's Justice League. I love that movie so much. The difference, though, is Zack Snyder's Justice League is a DC movie that's trying to and succeeding at being a DC movie. Eternals, however, it could go either way, because I can't decide if Eternals is a Marvel movie that's trying to be a DC movie or a DC movie that's trying to be a Marvel movie. Or if it just falls in between. Because this is a movie that felt a lot like an Elseworlds type thing. It felt a lot like a what if. I know it's not a what if, but that's what this movie felt like to me. So, to wrap this all up, pros, the biggest pro in this movie. Biggest pro in this movie by far is the character work. I cannot praise the character work enough. I'm absolutely shocked that Chloe Zhao was able to develop nine and a half of the Eternals very, very well. Because I feel like there was a lot of great setup with Sprite, but Zhao just never followed through on that. You know, there's a lot of great setup there with her being in love with Icarus. And just never set up, that just never came to pass. But a lot has, so pros, character work. The characters alone would make this movie a 6 out of 10. The characters alone make this movie a 6 out of 10. The few moments of humanity, all the stuff in the past, I love the stuff in the past, and Fastos's family. You know, I really love that, it spoke to me in really powerful ways, and it made me comfortable to reveal this about myself on the podcast. But the movie is incredibly convoluted. There's a lot thrown at you. Again, I don't think that Dane Whitman was involved nearly enough. I really don't think that he was involved nearly enough. Oh, another positive I have. The main theme, the main score by Ramin Djawadi, who of course did Iron Man 1. The main theme for this movie is awesome. I think that the main theme of this movie is beautiful. But yeah, I still liked it. I'm sure I'll fall somewhere in between. It's just right now the initial disappointment. The initial disappointment right now is a lot for me. And especially because this movie's brand new. I'm sure, like, and you know, first time I see any of these movies, it's always I'm watching it with a very critical and analytical eye. Because, and you know, the first time I watch these movies is really through the eyes of just, like, an eager fan. It's through the eyes of an eager fan. Where you're just, where, like, all right, what's my first reaction going to be? Am I going to like it? Am I going to hate it? You know, I'll say this, actually. Black Widow was the complete opposite of this for me. I really didn't like Black Widow the first time. And every time I rewatch Black Widow, I love it more and more. I think Black Widow is one of the most rewatchable movies in the entire MCU. You know, Shang-Chi, loved it both times. Said to see it on Disney Plus again on Friday. So excited for that. Eternals, loved it the first time. Didn't like it the second time. So everyone has different opinions on these movies. And what I'm going to look at this as is this movie didn't really work for me. But you know what? There are 24 other MCU movies that really do work for me. Even Thor the Dark World, which I think Thor the Dark World's pretty, is very underrated. I think it's an average, you know, like 2000s era comic book movie. It's not terrible by any means. Is it one of the weakest films in the MCU? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be. Same with The Incredible Hulk. Incredible Hulk's a really good monster movie. I think Incredible Hulk's one of the most underrated comic book films of all time. I may completely serious when I say that. I really enjoy The Incredible Hulk when I watch it. Is it as good as anything else as the other movies in the MCU? Not by a long shot. So that's why it's not, you know, all that high on my rankings. But, you know, Iron Man 2 doesn't work for me. And Iron Man 2 really is a lot like Eternals, where the moments in Iron Man 2 that are good are really, really good. But everything else in both of these movies just falls flat for me. So that's going to wrap it up. That's going to wrap up my full Eternals review. I can't wait to talk more with this about this movie with you guys. This is going to be, and you know, this is the most divisive movie in the MCU, I think, so far. The most divisive movie so far. And we'll see where it lands. I don't think it's going to be like The Last Jedi, where, because, you know, we don't have a pre-existing attachment to any of these characters. Or most of us don't. Like, no one who's watching this movie today grew up loving Icarus. And if you did, that's great. It's great. But I think we'll be we're Marvel fans. That's not going to happen. But hopefully, we'll be able to watch this movie, have very different opinions on it. Have very different opinions on it. But, you know, like, I saw this movie with four friends last night, and we all thought it was fine. We thought it was fine. And I don't dislike it. I don't dislike it. I'm just disappointed in it. I'm disappointed in it. And as I watch this movie more and more when it's out on Disney Plus, because we will be doing a commentary for it. We're doing a commentary for all the new, for all the Phase 4 and beyond films that come out. I'm sure I'll fall somewhere in between. Because I think most of my disappointment right now is from the fact that this movie is not... And I think it's a little unrealistic to assume that this movie would be so great. Because, I mean, but to be fair, Kevin Feige did say that this movie is best picture worthy. He has said several times that this movie's best picture worthy. And that Chloe Zhao has delivered a beautiful film. So I honestly really don't think it's that out of the question for me to be going into Eternals thinking that this is one of the greatest Marvel films or greatest comic book films of all time. Because Kevin Feige's told us as much. And he didn't say about Black Widow. I think Black Widow's a lot of fun. It's not a great movie, though, but it's a lot of fun. He didn't say about Shang-Chi. And Shang-Chi, I do believe, is one of the greatest comic book movies ever made. But he said about Eternals, and Eternals just isn't that. Eternals just isn't that. So, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll be back on Friday, I believe, with the review of The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, a movie I grew up loving. So we'll see, and I've not seen it in years, so we'll see if it holds up for me. And next weekend is also Disney. Next Friday is Disney Plus Day as well. So, of course, Shang-Chi and Legend of the Rings will be streaming on Disney Plus, as well as a Marvel Studios special showing what's coming from the MCU to Disney Plus. So, we will be doing trailer breakdowns for everything next weekend. I think that's. I'm excited to do that. So, yeah. That's going to do it for this week's podcast. Go follow us on Twitter at AnotherMarvelP1. Please go leave a five-star on iTunes because there are going to be a lot of people finding the show this week for the first time because Eternals is out. People want to hear other reviews of Eternals. Share a podcast with your friends. Please do because, again, it's a big, big weekend for the podcast. But yeah, that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, and send an email, anothermarvelpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, last thing. My favorite joke in the movie was the Babylon. When Makari and Druig are, like, talking, and Druig uses powers to break up a fight, and they go, and they slap each other in the face, they slap themselves in the face, and they go, eh! I love that so much. All right, that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Friday.